Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Born May 17th in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Although America first met him through such wholesome family fare as Full House and America's Funniest Home Videos, we grew to love him for his dark and twisted brand of stand-up comedy, and over the years, he's become a true friend, and now you can listen to his podcast, Bob Saget's Here For You, on Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, and more. Please welcome, longtime friend of the show, Bob Saget.
Bobby, better than Jesus, Bobby Saget.
Born August 27th, 1968, Johnny Dare.
How are you, my friend?
I'm good. I didn't mean to give out your gear.
Oh, no. I said, trust me, there are no secrets in this world anymore.
No, there's nothing anymore. We just are all just trying to get to 2021.
Yeah, you are. Hey, listen, finally we get to talk about this. It was like a weird secret I was holding. I felt like I was holding inside because you were developing this podcast.
Yeah, and I didn't talk about it because I don't like to say stuff. Like, I'm developing a thing right now that will be big news, I think. I'm hoping. We're about to find out, and that would be something I can't talk about because, I don't know, they just say, don't say anything. They call it an embargo, like you're smuggling old booze on a ship. You know? And what do you mean embargo? Yeah, it's press, very important. You can't discuss it. Okay, we're caring.
I love the logo. Bob Saget's Here For You, and then in parentheses it says, the first podcast by a comedian ever.
And it's what I love about the byline of that is it's in laurels, little yes. Like I won the Cannes Film Festival.
Yeah. So good.
I don't know how I had time to listen to my own podcast because you're on 4 hours a day, Johnny. I'm all busy.
Yeah, well, listen, but you have a lot of time right now, don't you?
Yeah, I'm just concerned in Kansas City. I mean, why would they listen to me? They got you.
Oh, get out of here. Jesus Christ.
Oh, I would do every day. It's like, how many times can you have sex in one day?
You would.
Oh, they got time for my podcast.
Yeah, well, listen, if you tell somebody, you can have bad sex for 4 hours or really good sex for an hour, I mean, how long are your podcast going to be? I mean, will you be doing like an hour at a time? Will you be doing like 2 hours?
I'm trying to think because my wife's right down the hall. I got to be very careful here. Who's on the bottom? That's what I need to know. Because that'll make all the difference. Right. I got a lot of working to do. You know, to me, that's like working on the railroad. If you're on top, that's how I. At my age, that's not true. You know me. I'm an acrobat. This podcast, as you know, but nobody else does, but they do now because I've been talking about it a lot. I was just, past 3 years, every time I would come to Kansas City, I'd try to come there at least once a year, once every, year and a half. Obviously, I'm on hold, but I will be coming back, of course, in 21. But my tour, I think, starts in September again. We'll see if it's safe for everybody. Where I'm going. I think I'm going to Nashville, which I love. But I don't know. Even in my shows, I was just feeling so much dissension and anger. I think we've all been feeling it for a few years. And we've talked about this bunch. And I just said, hey, I want to do something that makes people feel good and just lets people be heard. And And so it was weird. At the end of my last special, which was like 3 years ago now, which is called Zero to 60, I was about to finish the show, and some guy says, "Bob, we need you in the audience." And I got a standing ovation before I finished my last song, which was called "We Got to Be Kind to Each Other," which is kind of my, you know, mantra right now. And then I said, "Well, as long as you need me, I'll be here." Like I'm Batman, you know?
No, but I think you do have that. You're such an empathetic guy, and you see things very clearly. And it's not like you live in some microcosm, Bob, that, you know, you've just been a guy who grew up in one city, and you only know one thing, and you know what you know, and you don't need to know anything else. And so many people are like that now, where they just don't know any better. And
well, I actually grew up in Norfolk, Virginia. I was born in Philly. We moved a whole lot. My dad was with a food fair store, Pantry Pride. You don't know them, but they're a supermarket chain. And we moved, like, I was a Navy brat. We moved from town to town. So my childhood, I moved like in the middle of ninth grade, right in the middle. So I went from Algebra 1 to Algebra 1, and they were completely different algebras. Apparently, there's not one. And then middle of 11th and 12th grade, I moved from L.A. back to Philadelphia, so I was a mess. I didn't have any friends, and that's how you become a stand-up comic. And so, I became amicable, but I looked like somebody's dentist or accountant, so I was, you know, pegged a geek no matter what. But I had a real rough childhood with a bunch of racism because I'm Jewish. And click, hello, Johnny.
I know, man.
Are you still there?
Yeah. No. I was just listening because
I was joking. I was.
I'm sorry. I was a guy. Go ahead.
I was doing a Zoom podcast the other day, and I was saying something about. They said, "Were you religious?" I said, "No, but I mean." Sometimes, you know, when someone's sick or something, then I find out how religious I am. And
right.
I don't know. You know, I just, in general, sometimes I'll say.
I'm going to have to explain to you what's happening in the studio right now. So Barger is making a ton of noise because he's got some sinus issues going on. I had to take him to the vet, and I pulled the mics down so everybody wouldn't hear him. Like, he's going, it's not a pleasant sound. I think he's going to be fine, but he's got to go. In for a CAT scan on Tuesday of next week.
I
pulled the mics down. That's why I wasn't responding to that. So because I didn't want all the sound to go out over the airs because it sounds horrendous.
Oh, so literally when I said I'm Jewish, something did happen.
Yes. But I had the mics all pulled down.
I'm not going to mention that on the air ever again.
No. Well, the Bargy, go in there. It's all right. He's not going to go, guys. It's all right, man. He's just got to leave
it
up.
Is he sick?
Yeah. He's 16 now. And so he's had this.
You got to call 911?
No. But I took him in. I'll tell you, I had a full meltdown. So I had to take him to a specialty place where my dog Elvis died. That was the place he died. And the other day, because of the COVID, they won't let you in. And I thought they were going to have a consultant situation. And I would be able to go, at least go in the foyer and talk to him. But they took him and on a leash, and then he tried to pull back to me on the leash, and then I'm having this weird flashback of losing my other dog there, and I barely made it to the goddamn Jeep before I broke down. A grown man, like full bore, like, this is happening. I'm going to lose this dog. So
When did Elvis die?
He died 16, 17 years ago.
Oh, man, yeah. I didn't send a note or anything. Let me ask you honest. Do you have a dead man sitting across from you right now?
I know, right? I know.
I mean, if you're talking to me, would you interrupt if he just all of a sudden came?
Yes.
I'm never mentioning my life as a child.
So, believe me, you were getting reactions. I just had the mics pulled on. You couldn't hear everything.
It's hilarious. That was a cosmic lesson for me. Just, I should just shut up.
No.
I wanted to hear the snoring.
I know.
It's even better if I'm going on and on and on. I just hear snoring. Then it's like, oh, man.
Well, it's worse. It's not even like snoring. You ever hear like a redneck really trying to pull phlegm out of the back of his throat?
Yep.
That's that sound. Yeah. It's really loud.
But these days, you can't trust phlegm.
Yeah,
you don't know where it's been.
That's right. But let me get back to that.
Is he awake now?
He is. He is awake. He'll be fine, and that's what we got to find out. We have to do what's called a rhinoscopy.
He's in the room with you?
Yeah. So
you need to get him out of there?
No, he'll be okay. It's just been going on for 3 weeks. Now we finally get him in for a rhinoscopy where they'll put a camera in there and they'll see if it's a tumor or if it's an infection, and they're going to give him a CAT scan.
Like, you should go to the freaking hospital right now.
I know. They won't get him till
it's
Tuesday.
It's going to be on your hands, John.
Stop. Don't say that, for God's sake, man.
He's sitting down
him
now.
Out. I'm worried about him. I wanted to be a doctor.
Listen, I wanted to be
no
a doctor.
No one snores on my boring story. Come on, I'm plugging my podcast. Don't you understand how important
that is? He is in no way in any discomfort. He just does this weird thing, and so we're going to find out why. And I'm more nervous about putting him under anesthesia at 16 years of age. So it's, you know me. I'm a weirdo, man.
I'm sensitive of going out because I'm over 60, which I never thought. Yeah. I don't think of myself that way, you know.
Yeah.
My lower parts are in their 20s, but.
they used to really be in 20s.
That's true.
Yeah.
Man, that was, we can't even be, we can't do nothing anymore. Yeah. Nothing is PC.
Let me go back to your childhood,
okay?
Though. Yes,
I feel
he is.
Like should I get on a plane?
No, he's fine.
He's sitting out comfortably.
Listen, you know me. Let me tell you what I do when I leave here, Bob. This is true. I leave here. I get 2 Arby's big roast beefs, plain. I hand feed them to him. At some point, I'll probably cook rotisserie chicken or a steak and hand feed that to make sure he's okay. Make sure he's all fine. Like, so he's being babied in the highest regard every day of his life.
Okay.
So he's fine. Let's
all right. Arby's roast beefs are good. I like horsey sauce.
It upsets his tummy and gets him
and
a little.
And I pet the rabbit, George. I like horsey sauce, Charlie Babbitt.
Hey, go back to your childhood, though, for real. I want to talk about this because this is where you.
Well, no, you're just trying to get back. I mean, we weren't live, this would be the best edit in the history of podcasts.
Welcome to what you're going to be doing.
Is it okay to talk now?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, I'm so sorry.
Are you sure?
Yes, yes.
Is there
yes.
snoring still? Oh, I feel bad. I hope he's okay.
He'll be. I'll let you know.
I'm telling you, I'm getting on a plane.
No, it's not safe.
I'll be there before the end of your broadcast. Well, anyway,
you did face a lot of ugliness as a kid, and that's what gives you empathy, though. But that is what gives you that ability.
That's what the podcast is. I literally am in pain that he's suffering right now. Well, he'll get tests, and you'll get him back on track.
Yes, absolutely. But you do.
Of course he'll live forever. But, that's, you know, all of us. I'll live forever.
I know.
I have a friend who's 97, Norman Lear, the genius Norman Lear. And he was on my podcast. And what I've done is, just so I get through this and we can hear this exciting story, which is actually all I've been doing. You know what it's like. You do your show every morning. It's kind of your life.
It is.
And you probably go back to bed, right? And then you wake up and get a bunch of stuff done, right?
Yeah, well, you know what I found? In all honesty, over the years, I got to get stuff done during the day because otherwise, if you don't live this life, I have nothing to talk about. I have nothing to relate to, so I have to get
you're
to afford
yourself.
Right. Yeah. You are.
Yeah. Yesterday, I took a nap, but that was because I had to get up incredibly early to do a bunch of press. So this is different because I'm calling you. I feel like I'm just calling a friend.
Yeah, it's a conversation.
And then putting creatures to sleep.
Jesus. Well, listen, you know as well.
If you need him put to sleep, I'll just talk to him.
I'll let you know how the test goes on Tuesday.
Okay.
When we have to make a decision, I'll fly you in. God, that's how I want to go. You know what? That's how I want to go. If I gotta go, I want to be euthanized while you are calmly with your arm around me, telling me it's gonna be just okay.
Okay, Dr. Kevorkian, whatever you want.
But
you want me to do the lethal injection? I can do it. I got a turkey baster and a pint of milk. A little bit of milk before you go.
Tell me, how was it with Norman Lear, though?
The what?
How was it with Norman Lear, though, when you sit with him?
Norman Lear is such a dear friend. You know, he's 97. He is still producing television one day at a time, the Latino version. And he had it canceled by Netflix, but got it picked up by another network. I think it's on Pop. I'm not sure, but he is just, he's an unbelievable man. He's a genius, you know.
Yeah.
For people that don't know, he created, he made, he wrote, he produced All in the Family, The Jeffersons, Good Times, Sanford and Son, Maude, you know.
Yeah.
Just 10 years of the best television. And it was all about humanity. And it was all about racism, and yet he was able to make humor out of it and good human values. And so I'll tell you how close I am with him. The interview, he said, I've only got an hour. And then we start talking, and I do them on Zoom also, so people can see them on
Smart.
My YouTube page. And I never had a YouTube page before, ever, so I got, like, nobody on it. Nobody's following. People, the comments are like, this is amazing, but no one's on here. I'm like, yeah. I had to answer somebody. Anyway, Norman and I talked for 90 minutes, and we're so close these past, I guess, 8 years, 9 years. It's interesting, as I lost Don Rickles, who was like a dad to me.
Yeah.
I just started becoming close with Norman. So it was like, it was almost like I have an old man relationship thing, which Stamos taught me to have. It's yeah. It's kind of like if someone's breaking up with somebody, they try to go to the next person before they break up, so they got it teed up, so they don't have to feel the pain of the breakup.
Right.
So I do that with old men.
Yeah.
And, so I lost the brilliant Don Rickles. I wasn't the only one. I guess his family. And it's all me. It's narcissism when it comes to loss.
I feel the same way. Feel the same way, man. Nothing terrifies me more than losing somebody I care about that I love. I mean, nothing in this world terrifies me more.
Yeah, and I've lost, as you know, quite a bit. I've lost two sisters and that's what's weird too. When you go to when you're at the funeral and at your home afterward, and people come over and go, I don't know how I'm going to live without her, and then you're the immediate family consoling the friends, and that's kind of always been my role in life, is taking care of people, even if I'm going through the immediate pain. But nothing's worse than the pain parents feel.
Sure.
God forbid they lose a child. That's one of the greatest sins that happens on this world. Anyway, with all that empathy, and Norman's like that, I'll go back to the podcast, but is he sleeping again?
No, he's resting comfortably.
Okay.
Yeah.
But my wife Kelly and I are having a virtual dinner, cocktails and dinner, with Norman and Lynn Lear tonight.
Nice.
So we're gonna be on FaceTime, and we're gonna have cocktails and talk and set it up, because he's 97. He's not exactly doing social distancing dinners. You know, he can't. No doctor, no family member will allow him to.
No,
do that.
National treasure. You keep him in a goddamn bubble. Wrap his whole house in Saran wrap. Like, yeah, he can't go outside.
It's true.
Yeah.
He had the second copy of the Declaration of Independence. No, I'm not kidding.
You're not?
He bought it years ago.
Mm-hmm. Holy yes.
He bought it to send it on a tour around the country, because I don't know if it was a world tour or not, but he owned it. And then he went and sold it to a museum.
Oh, did you get to see it?
Or gave it. I don't know what he did. He's one of these guys. He's such a philanthropist. He doesn't talk about any of it. He's one of the dearest. So that's like the Obi-Wan Kenobi guest on my podcast. But, for example, today John Hamm is out. I didn't mean he's out. He wasn't arrested.
Disturbingly handsome. I played softball with John Hamm, and I literally got up close to him, and all I could think of was, Why is he so good looking? Like, and naturally good looking.
Well, what's good about this pandemic? He's got a full beard. He could be just any dude sitting in front of a set of blinds.
God.
I mean, he is very, very handsome. And on the Zoom call, I mean, I do it with a full board. They brought it to my house, of course, once the pandemic started. He's a wonderful guy. Didn't you have a blast with him?
He's wonderful. He came in for the Big Slick, a charity for the Children's Mercy Hospital. And we played softball at the K, and it was nothing but stars. And then somehow I got stuck in it. It was like almost like a make-a-wish. And I was just looking at it, like Kevin Pollak and there's Bill Hamm and there's Will Ferrell and Adam McKay. And just it literally went on and on and on. And then there was Johnny Dare. And it was awe-inspiring to go out there and just see these guys, man. And yeah, Hamm was one of the nicest, funniest, just devastatingly handsome, like A-list quality type guy.
And he's an A-list quality human. He doesn't have social media. He doesn't want to do it, get caught up, and he just wants to do his work. And he's a person. And when he was on, we talked about everything. We talked about, you know, our major issues in the country.
Yeah.
We talked about racism. We talked a little bit of politics. I try not to do too much because it upsets me so much. But then you want a podcast to be evergreen also. But when things happen, when huge things happen, I'll back up for one second because there is something I wanted to tell you, which was just about the podcast, and then we can talk about things like, you know, my sex life and.
Mm.
I don't know about yours. Do you keep a flamethrower by the bed?
Actually, right now, there really is one by the bed.
Is that true?
I swear to you, it's really true. It's the Vulcan.
Breaks in, you'll actually burn your house down?
Actually, my friend Chad returned it, and I put it in the room. It's actually in the case.
God. I am a psychic. I really am. That's amazing. Anyway, I've been psychic in there before. Remember when the lightning hit?
Yes. Is this thunder? Yes, yes.
Let's not go there. But anyway, I started to do the podcast in a studio, and 2 days later, the pandemic was declared, you know, as dangerous. So we're talking months ago, and they had to, that was it. I couldn't work there anymore, and they gave me the full-on, you know, podcast radio board, and I have it in my study, and I record from there. And then my first guest was John Stamos, and then I had Tiffany Haddish and Bill Burr, and Howie Mandel, and I mean, so many people that I love. And on Monday, I have Jeff Garland, and next Thursday, I have Tom Papa.
Papa's so good. You guys are so similar.
Wonderful.
So many ways, wonderful. You guys are so similar.
What's great about comedians, that's a compliment. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh,
what's
I mean,
great about comedians is you don't even have to know them. And you can reach out to him, and I look on Twitter, and I go, my God, he follows me. She follows me. I'll follow back on her or him because I adore their work, you know. And a real man doesn't say adore their work. But anyway, we went to Arch Deli in the Valley years ago, and we're like, okay, so we've talked a couple times, but how's your family? And we just like we'd already known each other forever. So it's nice to have your friends. Howie talked about, I call him a prophet now, because he was there for the whole OCD thing. People made fun of him and thought he was a neurotic mess. Turns out it was a mental health issue,
right,
which he talks about in his book. He's very open. Have you had Howie on the show?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely, man. Very nice. But the problem with us when we get Howie is he's on a tour, and it's that 8 to 9 minute deal, and now he feels comfortable with us. But you know how it is when you're talking to radio chuckleheads.
Yeah, you've been courteous enough to do that for me too. Where I'm on a radio tour, and every 9 minutes, and then there's always from the person calling's point of view, with whatever if you're an athlete, if you're an actor, or whatever, comedian, it's so weird. One station, just one, does something.
Yes.
Torture you.
Yeah.
It's they just haze you. And
yeah, it's
like,
awful.
Oh, we got Saget on the tour, and I don't know what they did. And they're a well-known show. It's a sports-related show, and it's nationally syndicated or something. And they just, and I've been on the show a bunch, and they just were like negative and weird. And that's why I have the podcast.
You know, it's terrible. And you make up for it. Like, if I meet a new guy, it takes us most of the talk to have them go, oh, you're not a dick. And, you know, just because you have to prove yourself.
And I don't audition to be, you know, just look at my, I don't know. No. I'm online. Look at my Twitter and
people know who you are.
Facebook. I'm a good person.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, you are.
I'm
very
not
much.
Getting caught for doing anything bad because I've erased all fingerprints
for
my whole life.
We killed them all, didn't we? We got rid of those people.
Yeah, we had a pit in the back. Then you got out your flamethrower and sealed up the crevice. Nobody could see the earth at that point.
You are. But you're going to be, this is what's going to be the best for you, because the reason I think you and I became friends was because we could have great conversations. We go sit back and have cocktails and talk and just, and it wasn't like, you know, you're telling a million jokes. You're always funny in the moment, but you as a conversationalist is I think the thing that people are going to love the most. Just you do. You have a love for this world, a love for humanity, a love for people and doing the right thing. You like to see good guys win, and you're a humble, great human being. And I think that this is going to be really fun for you, man, doing this podcast.
Well, the other thing I get to do, what you get to do, is you have people call in and you talk to them, and you're their friend. And people don't realize, you know, it's that old saying, sincerity is the most important thing, and if you can fake that, you know. but the truth of it is, when it comes from a real place, that's the real person, and you're the real person.
So, yeah, it's too
right.
hard.
So it's the same as you would talk to them if you were on the street before you said, you know, security. But
but it's too hard to fake it. It's way too, I see radio guys fake it.
I can't fake it. I did a couple girlfriends back, but that's because, you know, I had to let her know I was great. doesn't make sense what I just said. It made no sense. But I actually do care. So I have people call a number. And certain days on the podcast, and the number's listed on, you know, Apple or Spotify, wherever you're getting your podcast. And I call people. I'll call like six people in an hour and see how they're doing. I'll call a guy, he'll be so stoned and he'll be laughing the whole time. And I'll say, how you doing? And he'll say he's in quarantine and his mother was on a ventilator. I said, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And he's just laughing. He's all stoned. It's like...
Well, he's talking to Bob Saget. He got called by Bob Saget while he's high. That's a weird experience.
Yeah, my name is one word. It's so weird.
Yeah. Yeah, you're never
little
Bob.
Kids go, Bob Saget. I go, no, you can call me Bob. Okay, Bob Saget.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. They're part of the vernacular, I guess.
Well, I told you, I sent him this picture of Sassy Von Fancy Pants as a kid. They saw him at Universal Studios or Disney or somewhere. He was there with his kids, so her mom wouldn't let her bother. But they were what are they calling you, Mr. Bob, Mr. Host, Bob Saget, Mr. Host? And they just So they turned around backwards, and her mom took their picture, and then he was like 10 feet behind them on the other side of a fence. But they were. She goes, I remember being so enthralled when she goes, I instantly as a child recognized him from the television set, and. It was, and to this day, she still thinks, she feels like she met you, even though you had no idea they were even taking the picture.
Yeah, that's a nice thing that it means so much. And that's the other thing about, I've never called strangers. I mean, I did it as a 12-year-old and recorded it like Crank Yankers, you know. I mean,
sure.
I would just do crank calls, you know. I'd call up the supermarket, you know, all those jokes,
yeah.
You know. Excuse me, do you have cotton balls? And they go, yes. I go, what are you, Peter Rabbit? You know, things like that. This bad dad jokes, but done by a child.
Yeah.
But this is, I'm able to hear people's pain and try to bring them a smile. Sometimes it gets kind of serious, as it does with you.
Well, I think you got to let it go the place it goes, you know? I mean, you can't be too stuck on what you think you want to have happen, because sometimes it's much better to just let it be what it is.
Well, it's got to be real.
Yeah.
I think that's what people want right now. And I'm just tired of, you know, of all the pain and all the injustice and all the stuff, no matter where it comes from. You know, it's everywhere. It's like permeating the air of the planet right now. It's like...
Yeah, no, I go between being sad and then angry, and then, because I look and I go, man, we got to be better than this. And then I think, you know what, I'm just now mad because I hate bullies, and I just see the people lashing out.
Well, you can fight it. The fear with trying to be positive. It's so much easier to be negative. It's just...
Yeah.
It's a spiral, and so many people are out of work, and there's so much tension, and... I mean, things that I thought we were over, you know, and things that have never really been figured out. So I think there's stuff that people, especially in this country, not especially in this country, really is all over the world. But this country right now has got, you know, a big spotlight on it. And it's...
It's time to fix
positive
it.
Positive through all this is hard because there's so many... people that are making it.
You know what it feels like? it feels to me like in being in a Rocky movie where the bad guy's beating Rocky down and we're Rocky, like the great part of America, the bravery and the equality and the land of the free and the home of the brave. And I know that's a childish way to look at it, but I really, it's what it seems like. And I'm like, man, we got to find a way to knock this bastard out. Like it's got, you got to win. And in the end, it makes it all okay again. And you, and I'm not, when I say well, knock this bastard out, I don't mean a person. I mean injustice and racism and inequality.
Well, that's what 3 years ago when I went, I've got to go out and really tour and really come up with some intelligent material and do stuff that's relevant. And I have a whole 10 minutes on racism when I grew up in the South and how persecuted I was. I can't imagine the life of being a
no,
young
of course
black
not.
American.
No, we never can. Dude, listen. You don't owe, nobody owes
I don't understand anybody. It, though. I mean, I understand hatred, but when you're five, you don't know hatred unless right. someone hurts you,
yeah.
know.
Well, but comedy does hearts and minds. That's what we've been talking about is you can't, I wish you could beat the hate out of somebody, but you really can't. But what you can do is slowly you make them laugh, you make them think, you go Norman Lear, you tell great jokes, you take them through a story with punchlines like you do, and you win hearts and minds. Hearts and minds are what change the game and how people view other people, and that it lets them let down their guard and let some of their anger out, and maybe, just maybe, take a look inside quietly and decide who they really want to be.
Yeah, that you couldn't have said it better. Were you reading that? That was really good. that's comedy, right? So somebody says something sincere, and then you do a lot. That's why South Park's so great. They'll do,
yeah.
you know, a one-minute monologue, and then someone will break it with, well, that's why, you know, some
yeah.
stupid Cartman line.
But that keeps it from feeling like a lesson or being chastised or condescended to. You know, you keep it funny, man, hearts and minds.
It's 100% true. And I'll never understand hatred, but I'll do everything I can to obliterate it. And if someone is a hater and someone is, and it starts from the top and it trickles down, and if people are out there hating, and some people are probably listening that are out there and
sure.
they're full of hate right now. One thing that feeds hate is hate, and that makes people hate more.
Yeah, I always got to remind myself of that because I have this other side of me that, like, you know, there's no wrong way to punch a Nazi, and so I constantly have to try to pull myself
you
back.
You hit him in the pith helmet.
Yes, right, exactly. You
no, yeah, there is it. You could do a karate chop as you're pretending to go Z-Heil. You
mm-hmm.
know,
sure. Or give him the Three Stooges right in the eye. Dink.
Right.
Yeah.
Come here, you.
Yeah.
Rodney Dangerfield had a great line about the whole World War II situation, and Mel Brooks, of course, did all those movies where he would give you a heart, you know, the producers was
oh, yeah.
musical, based on a musical that was to fail, so they didn't make money, called Springtime for Hitler.
Right.
And it's actually the song, it's like really a good song, but it was a satire. People don't understand satire anymore because we're not in that astute a world. We're
yes.
in a world where most people just...
They want to be offended. They're running
exactly.
through here looking for a reason. Sure.
Base value, they want to be offended. And yeah. they're looking for it, and their backs are up. But it's interesting, Rodney Dangerfield, who was a dear friend also, I really love dead people. And he... I'm not dead, man. Leave me alone. He smoked pot every day of his life, and... It's amazing. I was on the Bill Burr Burt Kreischer podcast,
which great
last week.
So good. Burt Kreischer's a great human being as well.
Exactly. So these are I just met him, and so you know I'm trying to you know I don't know what I'm going to get out of him. He just doesn't put a shirt on. I don't want to be around that all day. But we did this podcast, and I brought out a box that Rodney's widow gave me, Rodney Dangerfield's pot box. It's a huge box. It says RD on it, and inside is his pipe, his pot pipe. And
what a great thing to have.
They looked at it. They were mesmerized.
Sure.
Bob, you got to bring that pipe. We got to smoke out of that pipe. But then, I don't know. I don't think they ever saw Rodney up close, and he always had food dripping out of his mouth. And stuff. I mean, it's like, I don't think I want that. Maybe all the years have killed whatever disease is on it. But he was such a funny man and so kind to me. And he always said that doing stand-up comedy, man, it'll save your life. And I went, how? He said, it's World War II. You're trying to get out of Germany. You do 6 minutes for the Nazi guard at the border. You make him laugh, he lets you go.
Like, but, you know, it feels like that, right? It does feel like
it's a good metaphor. Yeah. I mean, if you can, comedy can save your life if you really do, you know.
Well, without it, look, Bob, I think you... I mean, I think you have to. Like, getting to know you more and more, like, the way you deal with tragedy is by making others laugh, by letting that steam off a bit by bit by bit by bit, because it builds up inside of guys like you, inside of guys like me. So you got to find a way to let it out, because otherwise it'll get angry, it'll get dark, it'll get cancerous. There's a lot of different ways you can end up, but you got to find a way to blow the steam off.
And I think that's what's been wrong with everything that's been happening on top of all the issues that have gone on and racial inequality issues.
And then you add quarantine and isolation in there, and bam, look.
That's what it is. Yeah. The quarantine has, we've been, you know, all the stuff that was there at the surface, this was just like the pot just boiled over. And
yeah,
I'm trying to get out and see people. Somebody invited me over for their birthday on top of a mall at a restaurant on the rooftop, and I'm like, I'm socially distant. Why can't we just do a Zoom? I mean, I don't know. How are you about going out?
I've been riding my motorcycle a lot. I find it to be my social distancing is at 70 miles an hour. I've gone
Got
to a,
it.
We've
you,
opened
you don't
it up.
Go to restaurants or anything.
I will occasionally, depending on, I don't, it depends on the one. Like Anthony's, this great Italian place downtown, has got it set up really beautifully where you're really distant. And the food is so good, you're really... Well, I haven't even told you what's happening in my life, by the way. So my buddy Belshi, I got to tell you this because you'll be weirded out if I don't. I haven't been living in my own house for like 3 months. So my buddy Belshi comes to me in January, and he goes, I'm kind of having some trouble at home. Can I crash with you for a few days? And I go, sure, I love you. Come on, take the room upstairs. And so he does, and then this quarantine hits, and then this work shuts down. So we're just living in this house together. And he's a great guy. He's a farm kid from up in Iowa, strong, like a fitness trainer. Looks like an old timey strongman, bald head with like a Fu Manchu mustache, and MMA fighter type guy, and just salt of the earth, good human being. And he goes back to work, and he works for a truck company. Goes to Texas. He's gone for more than a week. On the way home, he's almost to Kansas City and spikes 104 degree temperature. And doesn't come to my house. So he goes to a hotel. I get a call. He takes the test. We start bringing him food and clean clothes. Sure enough, it was Memorial weekend. He's got COVID. And so,
oh my God.
So I go, well, you can't stay in a hotel. I mean, he's really sick, sick. And they've got him on a pulse oximeter to monitor his oxygen level. And so I go, okay, what's going to happen here? I go, I'm going to move in with my girlfriend in her little house over there in Bonner. And then you take my house. So I get him to the house, seal him off. It only goes like 2.5 days, and he almost dies in my house. We're calling him, and my doctor calls and goes, have you spoken with him? Because I just did, and it sounds bad. So I call him. He can't even make a word. Now, this guy, I'm telling you, we're talking about a guy who bench presses 350 pounds easily. He is a strong guy. And we have to 911 him and get them over there in their, you know, PPE gear and the big craziness and the fire trucks, and they get him over to the hospital and hit him in an ICU. And he was down to 80% oxygen level saturation and almost went on a ventilator.
Oh, my God.
And so they give him that COVID convalescent plasma, and that's what saved his life. It was the antibodies from somebody else, and it still took him another 10 days to get out of the hospital. And then he's been at my house now for... I guess another 2 weeks, 3 weeks going on top of that. And he's on the good side, and he's much, much better. And I'm getting ready to move back in there. But, it's been a weird, weird couple of months, man.
I had no idea. And you've been talking about it every day.
Yeah, of course. Because, I mean, it's too weird not to, right? Because then people are like, you know, it's a hoax. And I'm like...
That's what drives me nuts about people that are thinking that this thing doesn't exist. Because I know people that died, and I know people that almost died. So... When I don't, people do have to listen to science somewhat.
Oh, I had him blow up some balloons, and I've got them on standby. So anybody that would like a hoax-filled balloon, I'm ready for you to inhale it.
How much money was on him when he ended up collapsing?
Oh, I told him he was broke.
Oh, so you took his money?
Yeah, of course I did. Jesus Christ, he hasn't paid me to rent.
Really sick. You just reached in there. You wore a mask.
Are you kidding me? I told him the other day, I go, I want to fight you now while you're weak. So, because this is the same guy
he was gonna
teach me a couple years back, 5 or 6 years back, kickboxing and Muay Thai. And once both of my shins, true story, from knee to ankle went jet black from blood being burst inside, and my face hurt because every time I dropped my left, he'd punch me in the face. I finally quit after like a month and a half of this. I go, buddy, I can't have you hit me in the face anymore. He goes, then stop dropping your left. I go, no, I'm just going to go away from you and don't want you to hit me in the face anymore, Belch.
Maybe this COVID was karma for him.
I feel so. I feel like it really was. He kind of deserved it. And I'm telling you, I'm going to go fight him before he gets his full strength back.
He deserved it.
Well, my first thing when I saw him, I made him stand on this balcony. I was in the driveway, and I could see him afterwards, and I go, man, I thought you'd lose more weight. And he didn't find that near as funny as I did.
No. Yeah. Do you think people are going to, I hope he's okay, and it sounds like he's going to be fine.
He is going to be fine.
But the scarring of the lungs, I hear, does stay with
What they got to find out. They're going to take him back in for some more x-rays, but he's definitely winded, and he's definitely weaker, but he feels better. He definitely feels
it
better.
It does make you, and I know for a fact, because of my work with scleroderma, because I lost a sister to it, and I'm always doing benefits for it, and we're going to do a virtual event October 18th, we'll be announcing it, and we're going to have like 10 famous comedians. You know, it'll be a Zoom event or whatever. But we've got the great producer, Joel Gallen, is producing it for me, a non-for-profit.
It'll be great.
With it. And it's a lung disease also. And so people with scarring or people with lung pulmonary hypertension is what kills people.
Right.
When their lungs go. So but you're a lung surgeon, aren't you?
No, but I'm well-versed in all that cytokine storm I've learned a bunch about, where it attacks that alveoli and that at an intracellular level, and you can't process the oxygen anymore. But that's what happens with COVID. And so if you're already scarred and it goes after you, now that's why they finally figured out that it looks like the steroid is going to really help with the inflammation and really help treat those people that keep them off that ventilator, because that thing, it saves your life, but it kills you just as bad.
A dear friend of mine, he's a big Broadway star, Danny Burstyn. He might have been there that night when we were in New York. I can't remember. But I was in the Drowsy Chaperone with him. He was this brilliant actor, and he is. He's fine. I don't know why I said was. And he was, because he's not acting right now, because it can't be on Broadway, because it's closed. But he got it, and he walked from his apartment, and his wife wasn't well either, and then she's okay, thank God, at the moment. And he walked to the hospital, and he was there for weeks because he almost died. They were about to put him on the ventilator, and they put him on forced oxygen, and somehow, luck of the Irish, the guy got well.
It turns out everybody's right about it. Some people, it's asymptomatic. Some people, it kills. Some people, you're older and you have a secondary issue, it kills you. Belch has no secondary issue. He's 46 years old. He's strong. Turns out, and everybody's going to understand that, yes, what you thought was right, but then what everybody else thought was right, too. You don't know. It affects different people differently. Different strains are mutating. And, you know, and we just have to understand.
It's weird that people are, a lot of the deniers are just out in groups and...
it's not good.
Scared for everybody. If they're going to a rally, if they're protesting, no matter what they're doing, no matter where they fall politically, the disease is not discerning of what party you're in or how you look at the world. It's a real thing.
No, it doesn't know how you vote, what your religion is. It has no idea. We should stop politicizing it. Not to mention the fact that when I get somebody who wants to discuss that with me and they really get hard the other way, all I do now is I just go, sorry. Sorry I care about you. Sorry. I'm sorry I care about you.
And I'm really sorry you're just wrong.
I'm like, well.
I don't know why people can't just see it's real. It's because, you know what?
Yeah, it's scary.
It has not affected them. Yeah. People won't believe something unless it happens to them or someone close to them.
Right.
And if they get sick and they're in bed for a month, and everyone tells me this is the worst thing I've ever had.
Yeah.
It's not a flu. But we've had flus that we can't move. So I think I've had a, you know, I had pneumonia. I couldn't get out of bed for 2 weeks, but that's because I had an escort over. So I was.
Well, and you remember that gonorrhea syphilis little bout you had? You almost went crazy and blind.
Yeah, the whole combo. And then I don't know what those things were growing on there. I mean, I thought I was psilocybin was on there. I mean, you could have released a pig into the room and it would have found them.
The truffle snuffle.
Yeah, yes. I had a truffle wiener. You know, I love when I go into a restaurant and they go, we have fresh ground, we have fresh truffles, and they're in season. And it's like, the white truffles are in season right now. And then 2 weeks later, the black truffles are in season right now. And I'm like, you know what's great about truffles is they're not, they don't care the color. they don't fight amongst themselves.
That's right, that's right.
But the other thing is, they're always in season. We're being lied to. I mean, I've never been in a restaurant. It's a good, really good Italian restaurant,
yeah.
Which makes me sound spoiled because truffles are stupidly expensive. And all they are is the mushroom that doesn't kill you. That's pretty much what they are.
Yeah, well, they're underground mushrooms. They're like very hip mushrooms.
Yeah, so the pig has to snout it out. Yeah. And the whole process. And then the poor pig, after he's done his work, they probably slice him up into bacon. So.
That's right. Stuff him full of pork. Well, and then you come to Kansas City and we throw it into barbecue.
Oh, man. I can't wait to come back. I cannot wait. I mean, I want to do stand-up so bad, but I don't have the bravery of Dave Chappelle or Bert Kreischer and Jim Gaffigan are going to go out and do drive-ins. And
they're
Bert's doing them now. And but I don't think you can get coronavirus if your shirt's never on. So
no.
But I really admire it. Michael Che's been out doing it. I just, these are people that I love.
Go
so
when
much.
You feel right. Go when it feels good for you, man. Like I go out, I ride motorcycles. I got one bar. I'll stop by. I'll look out in the parking lot, see how many people there that play pinball maybe a little bit, and then I'll leave. But I'm real distant right now. It's fine. And again, if other people want to get into groups, do what you got to do. We all know. We know what.
Well, I have a friend, and he's a broadcaster, and he's denying this, and is in line with, I don't need to wear a mask because this thing is blown way out of proportion by the government. That's all I hear from. And it's all a leftist plot. And I'm like, dude.
That's my favorite. I'm like, yeah, the whole world's in on the leftist plot. Yeah, over in China. You know, those leftists. You know, over in Russia, all the leftists in Russia. Yeah,
I have so many things I want to say right now, but I'll finish the one thought. And we're supposed to go to his birthday party. I think it's in 2 weeks, and they want to do, as I said, on the rooftop of this mall, and the mall's deserted. And I'm like, this sounds sketchy to me. I mean, there's a parking garage underground. What if there's a homeless guy down there? You just don't know because the world is so messed up. Somebody's going to, like, there's that movie Outbreak when someone in a movie theater coughs and a phlegm ball shoots out that does a U-turn and goes in another guy's mouth.
Yep.
That's in the movie, the point of view of a phlegm ball. And I'm like, I'm the guy that's going to, I'm on the receiving end of that phlegm ball. And I don't know. I do believe that it's real.
Of course it's
real.
It's science. Look, there's a lot of dead people.
Well, I just hope people get well.
That's it.
They get well. I hope they get mentally well because it is a very hard time for people, especially if you're holed up with your family. People are going to have babies during this time, too, because people either get divorced when this
have babies.
Got a vaccine. Don't you think that?
Yep, absolutely. Are you kidding me? Now, we have stress test our relationship, Sassy Von Fancy Pants and I, in an 1,100-square-foot bungalow now. I feel like I'm living in a large bedroom in this house. I'm like,
that's hard. I mean, that's not hard. I didn't mean to sound like that.
No, it's not rough, like, but jerk. I'm on top of her at all times. She works from home, so I get home and I'm like,
yeah, but she likes that.
Yeah, well, I can tell you what she loves. If you walk up behind her while she's working on a computer and just pull your shirt over her face just for fun and then just walk away sideways so it drags her hair across her face. Or,
well, at least she's facing away from you.
Yeah, exactly. Or play with her boobs while she's trying to make a Zoom call with a boss or something. You know.
Oh, I would never do that with my wife. I've been pretending I'm an infant. Do I need to go on?
Good for you.
But, I mean, you know, we've actually, Kelly and I have been getting along like crazy amazing. Good. But what about the people that are going to get pregnant during this? Do you think anybody, I know someone's going to name their baby COVID. I know it. Someone's going to do that. Why'd you name me COVID? Well, here's a history book.
Oh, my God. 18 years from now, there will be a stripper named Corona.
That's well, and the beer company's not doing bad. I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
They can't go and change their name.
No, not at all.
Should they change it?
At this point in everybody's life, if that's what your problem is, you're like, oh, I definitely couldn't drink from a bottle that says Corona. I'd be like, okay, weirdo. Like,
I never drank cancer beer. I mean,
but Matt, do you remember AIDS? The candy AIDS that was for weight loss.
Yeah,
we went back.
They lost it because you can lose weight from both versions.
Yes. No. Let me play this for you.
That's called gallows humor, everybody. Yeah. You know, some people think that I don't care if I make a joke like that, but that's. You know,
no, that's
just the opposite. It's just how you deal with the pain of that. But yeah, they were AIDS. It was AIDS.
AYDS. Well, hold on. I dug up 20.
Oh, it was AYD?
Listen to this. This is a genuine 29-second advertisement before HIV came out. Hold on. Listen to this.
I was overweight and embarrassed to go anyplace. AIDS helped me get back into a size 12. The AIDS diet plan helped me get back into a size 6.
AIDS helps control your appetite so you lose weight, yet AIDS lets you taste, chew, and enjoy. And the appetite suppressant in AIDS is not a stimulant.
AIDS helped me lose the weight and has nothing in it that could make me nervous.
Question, why take diet pills when you can enjoy AIDS? AIDS helps you lose weight safely and effectively. Use only as directed.
Imagine you're the company that owns that.
Well, you know what the problem was on directions? It said, insert anally. You're not supposed to chew them. They were suppositories. It was weird. Yeah, that is a horrific thing.
Of course. But, you know, I would never shy away from playing that because there's an irony and a funniness. And if you don't laugh at that dark specter in the room, if you're not willing to face that reaper and then it owns you, then that elephant in the room, you have to point it out.
Well, also, I mean, I don't know if there's got to be a movie about it, but, you know, when Michael Keaton played, is it Ray Kroc? Is that his name?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
McDonald's, right?
Yeah, Ray Kroc.
If there could be a version of that where the company that probably has a lot of products. I don't know a company made AIDS diet candy, but you know that movie scene when it comes out that the HIV, they called it AIDS.
Yeah,
just a boardroom scene alone, I would go see that movie.
Absolutely,
I've got some bad news for you all. It's a new disease, HIV, which has taken over the world and. A lot of people are having problems with this disease and intravenous drugs and as well as sex where it's been transmitted. And then they put AIDS up on the screen and just all the faces in the boardroom. I mean, people must have lost millions and millions of dollars.
Oh, that's that Mel Brooks moment where it's like doing the wave, but it's head smacking all the way around the side.
It's really I don't know. It's a weird world.
Listen.
What was the 19? I'm really ignorant. COVID-19. What does the 19 stand for?
For 2019 is when they feel like it was discovered. That's what that means. Yeah.
So it's simply year.
Just the year. Yeah.
You could play board games with me, and I would not win.
But see, this, by the way, we've been talking for. More than an hour now, and this is what's going to make your podcast. I think people really enjoy it, but only on your podcast, you know, you're going to have equal stars like yourself. You know, me, I'm lucky. Like, I get a guy like you, and I'm super excited because I have so many questions, even though we've been friends all these years, about how your career was, how your childhood was. Like, to me, I'm the eternal, like, seeker. I just want to keep asking questions to everybody I find so interesting, and now you're in a position where both you guys are going to do that, you know?
I really love it. I mean, but so far, you know, I'm friends with most all the people, and I also love it in this quarantine time, and I'm sure you feel the same way, it's the most human communication you have.
Right.
And so a podcast for me was natural because I've been broadcasting since I'm, 27. I got a job on CBS and was on TV. So, or maybe I was 28, I don't know, but I started when I was 27 and had kind of dabbled in it over the years. But this is like it's a no-brainer. I was going to say it's a no-boner for me, but...
But you're a communicator by nature.
That's one of my issues. Last night I was sleeping in bed, and I woke up early to talk to you, and I swear to God, I rolled over. It was like a bike on a kickstand. I could not roll all the way over.
Oh, it's the best.
It's that morning.
Yeah.
Wood.
Yeah. How's your girl? Is she like, let's go?
Oh, she has a pillow to block it. her pillow is a kickstand blocker.
Oh, I sneak attack. Are you kidding me, man? I'm over there snuggling already before she knows what's happening. I'm halfway done.
Well, I actually put a hole through the pillow. So, my unit is allergic to feathers, so it started to get a head cold, and then
the sneeze,
it was sneezing at her.
Yes.
And then I had to go blow my nose. I don't know. There's five jokes in there, none of them good. But this is what you get this time of day.
Hey,
I do the food stamps of comedy right now.
Bob Saget here for you. Bob Saget's here for you. I want to make sure people know. Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify. All you have to do is put in Bob Saget's here for you, as in he's here for you. And I can't wait to start getting through all of these and checking them all out, man. I'm really excited for you because I know who
Thank
you are,
Johnny.
And you're really great at human discussion and conversation and keeping it funny and lively and moving through it all. It's they're going to be great. I have no doubt it's going to be huge.
Thank you. I just love talking to you. So
I do.
Thanks for having me on.
I love
you. I literally can't wait to see you. It's going to be, we're going to really, I think that's one thing that's going
to. Oh, shoot. Hold on. I'm sorry. My bad. I didn't mean to throw that down the line. My bad.
No, that was time for Bob to shut up.
It wasn't supposed to go down the line. Sorry.
Oh, seriously? That was another.
It was another mistake.
Is
that
snoring
was
going on?
No, Jesus Christ.
Well, I miss you, and I will see you soon.
I love you. I love you. I'll see you very soon.
I love you, too.
Why would you leave that up? Oh, I left it up because I ran the AIDS thing down.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.